There are times that I congratulate myself on physically being in what I would call pretty good shape. Then there comes some kind of a demanding physical task that I'm not used to, and boy, am I sore for the next few days. I'm just pathetic and just limping around and complaining about it. So it would be more accurate to say, rather than saying I'm in pretty good shape, it would be more accurate to say that parts of me, the ones that are exercised by, typically by bicycling, my cardiovascular system, my quads may be in pretty good shape, but in other ways, not so much. And so my self-assessment is not very accurate, or I guess one could say my self-assessment is incomplete. Now, this is the third Sunday that I'm going to be talking about self-examination, I guess you could say self-assessment. It'll be interesting to know how you receive this in terms of application and relevance. The first Sunday was on examining ourselves in terms of each day, how did it go, the prayer of examine. Where was God in my life? And the response that I got back from several of you that was that this was very practical and very helpful. I cut out a piece of paper, I put it up there, I practice this prayer of self-examine, and I can see how this has application to me. Last Sunday, perhaps it got a little more general and it wasn't as clear what the daily application was when we examined ourselves in relationship to others in the body. How are our relationships? And this Sunday, in one sense, I'm going even further back. It's the big picture. We'll be considering broadly our congregational health and fitness. And what do you do with that? How do I go home and do something with ideas about congregational health and fitness nevertheless? I hope that one of the outcomes is that this is always in the process of being considered, because I think this is also an important part of our Christian life. Shall we pray? Lord God, I thank you for this particular congregation, the Mennonite Church of Normal, called into being in a particular time and a particular place. And now we exist for your purposes. We offer our small gifts to you. May they be enlarged and used in ways that are truly powerful and miraculous within the purposes of your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A friend of mine shared with me a story from the old days. I'm not sure exactly when this was lodged, but it was the old days, maybe the early part of the last century. It was of a Mennonite congregation, which was served at that time by lay ministers. And back then, the arrangement was, at least for them, that those lay ministers served on Sunday mornings. They did the leading, the teaching, the preaching, and so forth. But there was also a regional bishop who gave oversight to that congregation and a few others that were in the area. And one of the regional bishop functions was to preside over communion. So if the congregation was going to have communion, it was the bishop who came in and officiated over communion. Well, the point of this story was it happened that the congregation in question was in a rather disgraceful season of mumbling and grumbling and fighting among themselves. And so for 2 years, the bishop would not serve them communion. As long as you are unhealthy as the body of Christ, it would be wrong for me to serve you communion. Hindsight has revealed a lot of flaws in that old bishop system. I can't imagine that for some of you this isn't sort of setting off a certain kind of reactivity. Surely Tim is not suggesting we return to that. No, Tim is not. I get the flaws. I'm not proposing we go back to that model. But this story does offer an example when at least someone was casting an evaluative eye over a congregation, whether rightly or wrongly, and was willing to offer an assessment of congregational health. In this example, that meant naming what probably was true. This congregation, this body of Christ, isn't very fit, isn't very healthy. Much of our New Testament illustrates the same principle in action. The Apostle Paul's pattern was to first plant churches, and then he would follow up, almost as if he was a one-man consultant and evaluator of those churches. I picked out three of the well-known sort of soundbite examples of that, the written record that we have of his assessments. For instance, there was one particular congregation that was located in the province of Galatia, to which he wrote, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" That's a letter to get. To the church in Corinth, he wrote, "I have been informed that there are quarrels among you." To the church to the Colossians, he wrote, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of the saints." Were we to switch authors in the New Testament and move from the Apostle Paul, and these are basically evaluative letters is what Paul is doing. He's saying, here's a situation and here is what I recommend. We could switch authors from Paul to the one known as John of Patmos, who authored the book of Revelation, and chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation are written specifically to seven congregations. It was a word that he had for them, these assessments. And so he would say in various combinations, you can read them for yourselves, "You're doing this well. I commend you for this. But in these areas, not so much. This I hold against you." That's the actual language used. "I hold this against you. And here is what you need to do better." So whether it's a Mennonite bishop, or the Apostle Paul, or John of Patmos, it is the same principle. That there is a time and place when that which is known as the body of Christ, the local congregation, receives an assessment of health. And thus we have a good part of our New Testament. Now the morning text, which Lydia read, gives us a general foundation on which to base such assessments. Not surprisingly, as it's Paul who wrote this, he is again returning to the metaphor of the body as he speaks of health, and he sets this out as a goal. Here is the goal. The goal is that we, and I'm going to take this as directed not only to that congregation in Ephesus, but also it can be read by each congregation in this town, including the Mennonite Church of Normal, and indeed in all of Christendom. Here is the goal, that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And there's movement in this. You never get there. That you will be growing. It won't be perfection. But at least you know where you're going toward, what the goal is. And the goal is maturity, and that we will be the body of Christ in every respect. Not there yet, but that is that which we attain toward. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we are to be a mature body, and we are joined and held together by every supporting ligament. The ligaments, then, would be these. For the church to be healthy, it needs to have apostles, it needs to have prophets, it needs to have evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the ones that are on this particular list, and you can find other lists that would need to be added to this in order to have the whole picture. But in this particular text, he says, this is needed to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And this we could reframe, I think, as ministries. A healthy body needs apostles to give oversight. It needs prophetic to remember. It needs a ministry of prophecy, that is, the ability to go deeply into the mind of God, even if it is unpopular, and to contrast it with the society of the time. It needs people that are spreading the good news, the ministry of evangelism, those that are giving care to the congregation, the care of souls, people that are teaching and so forth. And in all of this is equipping. And the goal is to be able to observe and say of a congregation, now there's a church in which everything is working together to equip people to do God's work. So that the mailman comes and we open the letter and it is said of the Mennonite Church of Normal, now there's a congregation in which everything is working together to equip people to do God's work. I think this can become clearer if we look at this, if we flip it around, and if we consider unhealthy. If we look at examples of what it's like to have the ligaments not connected, properly connected. So, for example, let us take two things which I think are necessary for healthy thriving. Those would be hospitality. So let's think of hospitality as one ligament. And another ligament would be evangelism. But what if one has a congregation that has a vibrant capacity for hospitality? They really do it well. But without the ligament of evangelism, which is weak, atrophied, or is simply missing. How would I act that out? Welcome hospitality, and there's no one to shake hands with. Building up the capacity for hospitality and for being a friendly church and so forth and so on, if one is missing another aspect of what a church needs to do in order to be the full body of Christ, means that the one that is healthy sort of has no place to go. There needs to be a connection between the two of them. Or, if it were the other way around, if people were walking in our doors by droves due to vibrant evangelism, and there they received a cold shoulder, if the weak ligament was anemic hospitality, again, the body, that particular congregation in which that was the case, people coming in and not being welcomed, the body would not thrive. So it isn't surprising that says, from him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and that is when it grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. A second example where we take this contrast of two things would be if we had uplifting worship, and the other thing would be service. So on Sunday morning, we're moved to be like Jesus. We're moved to live like Jesus, but we don't do anything to put it in action. I feel so inspired during this 1 hour, but during the other 6 days, it doesn't particularly or visibly affect how I live my life. And so uplifting worship without having service doesn't really result in health. Or if you have people who are so focused on service and doing good, but they don't know the one who was truly good, then you simply have a service club, but you do not have a church. A final example would be that which is prescribed for the church. There should be solid theological teaching. But another ligament of the church needs to be community, being the people of God together. And so if one has solid theological teaching without community, then church is more like what? An academic institution. I came, I learned, I went home, nothing came to life. Or if you have solid community without sound teaching, the end result is just like any other social group. To be truly healthy, the goal is that all of the ligaments, all of the aspects of church, all of the ministries of the church need to not only exist, but they need to be connected. And that would be the framework that an assessor would look at a congregation and say, how is the health of that congregation? Are all of the parts there, and are they all working together? Now, in our case, the Mennonite Church of Normal, again, this list is not comprehensive, but I think it's an important listing of things that for us, we have said, these are the things that we see ourselves as being important to our being. They are named in as core values in a previous strategic plan. Until changed, I take them as the kinds of things that I would teach in a membership class. These six core values, these six ligaments, these six things working together. Personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Anabaptist Mennonite identity. And you'd have to fill in all of the pieces of what these mean. I'm not going to go into that. Denominational affiliation, being networked with other like-minded churches. Service, peace, and community. At our best, when these connect as a whole, when these are equally visible, when they are the topics of teachings, when they are acted out, when they are assumed to be the case, when they are just a part of our identity, when all of these ligaments, these core values, are in strong evidence of being healthy and being connected, then we are healthy. As I said, there are others which should be on this list, could be on this list, just as Paul felt free to write with a list here and a list here. I'll take that same liberty. But at a minimum, these six ought to be strong and connected. One ought to hear these preached, taught, lived out, and made visible in our life as the Mennonite Church of Normal. How are we doing? That's the question I won't answer this morning. This is not an analysis, it's not a diagnosis. It is simply to put before us this as an important question. In order to be fit, one needs to be alert to blind spots. And so perhaps, what if we are pretty fit in some ways, but not in others? It could be that we embrace some of these core values with vigor, but we have paid less attention to others. They have atrophied somewhat. Some of these might be there in name only. One thing which I'm very clear on, health doesn't just happen. Health is always the result of multiple choices, what one chooses to do and what one chooses not to do. While health can become an idol of sorts, it can become an obsession, I do think that health requires some periodic introspection. So, we go and occasionally we get a physical. We find out what our blood levels are. We consider our lifestyles. We choose certain kinds of diets. We decide how much time, if any, we will allocate during the day or the week for exercise, and so forth and so on. At its best, health is this constant series of choices, standing back, examining ourselves, holding on to what is good, and if something is malfunctioning, deficient, absent, then choosing to do something about it, we deal with it. I think we can say the same of the body of Christ, the local congregation. Health is a result of multiple choices. It deserves periodic review. The letter should come in the mail from the Apostle Paul occasionally. I commend you for this. Or as John of Patmos said, but I hold this against you. I've noticed that here is a deficiency. Here is something which is not as it might be. And then taking the coaching, the biblical coaching, to correct where there is imbalance or things that are lacking. Looking at the big picture now and then, without me prescribing how that should happen, when it should happen, how frequently it should happen, I would nevertheless say, looking at the big picture now and then should be an exercise in corporate self-examination. I suppose if you wanted to experiment with it just yourself, to get yourself thinking, it would be to ask, if Paul or John of Patmos were writing to us, how would it read? And this is not an exercise in guilt, because some of what was written to congregations was oh so very positive. I see what you're doing, way to go, keep it up. And other times, some congregations were in a season where for 2 years they had no business even taking communion. It would have been a travesty. On that note, I will end. As I said, I'm not presenting my own analysis. I'm not prescribing a certain process for how to do the thinking about ourselves. But minimally, I hope we would leave here this morning conscious that part of our life in following Jesus is wrapped up in the health of the congregational body. At times, it deserves conscious thought, and we do well to stay attuned to this aspect of our journey. As we as individuals and we as a body seek to become mature and to become that which we are called to, the very manifestation of and the very witness of and the very holiness of the body of Christ. Amen.